Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Sports Rank is in for Alfred. What did you think of that game last night? You know why I'm asking, too, right?
Which one are we talking about? Warriors? Bucks?
No. The Steelers and the Panthers.
The Steelers' offense looked like they're straight out of the Avengers. And they're getting Le'Veon Bell back. I will say this about the Broncos. They have not caught a break with the schedule. The Chiefs have one of the most dynamic offenses in recent memory.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams.
Great.
Unbelievably high-octane offense. And now the Steelers come to town in 2 weeks.
Oh, don't even sleep on the Chargers at the Chargers before that.
Man.
And then you got to go to Cincinnati.
Woo!
We may know about that losing season since 1972 quicker than we thought. You hit that nine
game. Very easily be 3-9.
Well, you're playing three really slow. I thought Pittsburgh was slowing down a little bit, but I'm just set up for failure here because I had to do the walk of shame. I was the only one on the fan that picked Carolina to win.
Why would you pick them to win?
Because I'm greatly influenced by having Christian McCaffrey on my fantasy team, which I'm kicking butt in, by the way. Not that anybody cares.
But and they don't.
I'm in first place over Cecil Lammy. I got a big matchup with Cecil this weekend. And again, I know you don't care. Cecil beat me earlier this year, so. But you see that trophy over there, Troy?
Yes.
My fantasy football trophy over there. I'm going to tell you this. I knew Christian when he was 5 years old. I loved watching him at Valor. It was incredible watching him at Stanford. And I'm addicted to watching Christian McCaffrey in the pros. And what a night he had, personally.
Yeah, he had two touchdowns passing, one rushing, right?
Three touchdowns, yeah. He was dominant.
Good for him.
And it's just this little swing pass. He's just faster and quicker than the vast majority of guys in the league. If you get Christian in open space, the only thing that sort of, you know, bogs him down in the pros is it's just messy in the pros. You know, it's just cluttered. And while guys in college, even the Pac-12, would miss tackles in the middle of the field. In the pros, they really don't. They get you down.
I'll say this. If Christian McCaffrey were just a slot receiver, he could be an all-pro slot receiver. He's good in space and catching the football. He could be an all-pro slot receiver.
And you see why a back like Christian McCaffrey is so much more valuable than Leonard Fournette. It was so predictable that Fournette was going to be hurt. The guy never caught any passes in college. All he did was run through the line of scrimmage. He was going to get hurt. I thought that was a joke that people assessed Leonard Fournette more than Christian McCaffrey. I mean, what good are you going to be if you're never on the field? I remember talking to Ed many years ago about Christian and what position he would play, because it was kind of, you know, it wasn't exactly solid what he was going to do while he was in high school. I mean, he was obviously unbelievable, but he was unbelievable at everything he did. I mean, Christian was an unbelievable defensive player. Now, he probably could be in the NFL, I'd say, Troy, at cornerback. But, you know, Ed was like, I think he's, you know, going to, you know, be a running back. I said, aren't you worried about that? And he goes, you know, Christian's pretty elusive. And I sort of rolled my eyes a little bit. Oh, well, we'll see. Well, Ed was right. He is elusive. He just doesn't, I don't know what it is about Christian. He just doesn't take those really hard hits that you see other running backs take. Fournette's, you can just, I mean, you know, I don't know what it's going to be, but he's always going to be hurt because of the way he runs. I hope Philip Lindsay is just like Christian McCaffrey. He looks a lot like him, runs a lot like him. throw the ball to Philip Lindsay. I'm going to guess if you get Philip Lindsay in space, just like Christian McCaffrey, you're going to get 20, 30-yard gains, touchdowns left and right.
Well, they're a matchup nightmare for linebackers in space. McCaffrey, Lindsay, linebackers aren't raising their hand to cover Christian McCaffrey.
I take one of those guys every single time rather than the big bruising running backs.
Well, in the modern NFL, that's, again, man, Barkley's got a little of both. Saquon Barkley. So, at least, I mean, you take him 2 overall and you wonder, should they have taken a quarterback, obviously, with Eli bobsledding down in his career here. But Saquon Barkley is an unbelievable threat in the passing game.
How much did Royce Freeman catch the ball in Oregon?
A little bit, but that wasn't his primary use.
Right.
He was a bell cow back.
All right. But we get him in the third round, so that's okay.
Right.
But when you're talking about first-round running backs, if they can't catch the ball, you should never take a first-round running back who's also not a great pass catcher.
Not now. Not in the modern NFL.
Be stupid.
The only guy that's done it in recent year, and that's why Adrian Peterson, I believe, had some problem finding work, is that's what his issue is. He's terrible in the passing game. It's hard to keep him on field on third down because he's admittedly bad in pass pro,
yep.
And he's almost never used in the pass game. So like you said, if they shut down the run, he's not on the field.
Yeah, there was some stat out of the Vikings, like Adrian Peterson took like 85% of his carries with the quarterback under center.
But this
Which is
year,
like completely contradictory to the way everything's going.
But this year, Washington decided to be competitive. They're going to go back to a run-based offense.
Well, it's working.
He's aging like Benjamin Button.
It's work. Yeah, you've used that 2 days in a row.
I like it.
I mean, is it every day with the Benjamin Button?
It is when I'm around, yes.
Right. But it was the Big Ben show.
You could say he was aging like Ryan Seacrest or Tom Cruise. Does right. Tom Cruise ever age? He's making a remake of Top Gun, and they had they were showing him on set. I thought it was from the 80s. The guy, he's wrinkle-free. D-Mac?
The Steelers are 52-21. I'm not letting you go there. I'm not Mark Schlereth, who will just let you go there in a second.
You're going to be jumping on the couch. You're going to be jumping on Oprah's couch here in a second.
The question is, how do 52-21, the Steelers have caught fire again. Now, I understand Connor may have a concussion, but they're getting Le'Veon Bell back. What is going to happen here on Sunday, November 25th?
Steelers, Broncos. The one thing that's going to disappoint me is someone who grew up here, if they're 3-7 entering that game, which they're going to be a heavy underdog at the Chargers, they're going to be a lot of Steeler fans. A lot of Steeler fans in Denver for that game. I don't like that. Yeah. I understand it, why you would sell your tickets. You're frustrated. You're tired of seeing it after 3 years of no playoffs. But, man, there's going to be a lot of Steelers fans.
It's daunting. Chargers are daunting. Pittsburgh's daunting. At Cincinnati.
But after that, it lightens up, D-Mac.
Does it?
Yes, it does.
At San Francisco?
They're terrible.
Are they? Are they?
They're
are
not
you
very
sure
good.
They're terrible?
They're not very good. They're not very good. Could they beat Denver in Santa Clara? Absolutely. Denver's 2-10 on the road with Vance Joseph, and they've never won a Sunday road game. So, yes, they could beat them, but they're not very good. Can you name their starting quarterback right now?
Nick Mullins?
Well, see, I forgot you had his jersey. You must have that in the same closet with Baker Mayfield.
It's just up there because I like to.
You got a lot of jerseys because you got a lot of guys.
I like to say Chris Mullins. No, you want to go there? You want to go there with me? Who's your favorite? All right, fine. I can do it quickly. Who's your favorite quarterback in the 1983 draft? Who was it?
For me?
Yeah.
It was John Elway.
Oh, I liked Jim Kelly. But I got a friend who lives in Miami, and his favorite guy is Dan Marino. They're all in the Hall of Fame. Oh.
So you, of this group now, you think any of them are going to make the Hall of Fame?
I think there's potential for sure, yeah.
There's not going to be three. There's not going to be three.
Yeah, there's going to be one of them.
One, yes, I would
maybe
say.
Maybe three. No, there might be three of them. Wait, hold on. Why aren't there going to be three?
Well, Baker Mayfield had the unfortunate of going to the Browns.
So what? They couldn't turn it around? He couldn't have a Hall of Fame career over 15 years?
I'd say the challenge is daunting for him.
Why?
Because of where he started.
Cleveland Browns used to be terrible, too. They seemed to be okay with LeBron James.
You think Baker Mayfield's LeBron James?
I don't, but I think if you put enough guys around him, the perception of cities change. And just because you think one thing out of a team doesn't mean you think that same thing. Everybody thought Cleveland was dog crap. They got great players. All of a sudden, it's all those that horrible-looking brown, yellow, orange, whatever that uniform is, all of a sudden look cool. Now it looks terrible all over again. The Chicago Bulls before Michael Jordan, you remember how bad they were?
I do.
Do you remember how pathetic they were?
Baker Mayfield's not Michael Jordan.
Dude, you're not quite getting my analogy here.
Michael Jordan didn't need much help.
You said he wouldn't be successful because of the team he was on.
I said he's not going to the Hall of Fame because of the team he's on. They can't even win a game regularly.
Yeah, that was before. They've had a million draft picks. They got a new GM. They've got a franchise quarterback. We'll see. But I'm telling you, it can happen to the Cleveland Browns. I grew up with the New England Patriots, who were terrible. Terrible, Troy. Horrible.
They were moving every other year.
I mean, it was terrible ownership. It was a terrible stadium. I prayed for Steve Grogan every Sunday to not get killed. And it just never went anywhere. And now they're not. You would never think of the New England Patriots as a dynasty in the 80s.
Okay, correct.
Things change if you get the right team.
The Hall of Famers out of this group. I don't think Mayfield will be a Hall of Famer. Sam Darnold has the physical skills to do it. I would say he's in the discussion.
Is Drew Brees going to be a Hall of Famer?
Yes, he is.
What's the difference between the physical skills of Drew Brees and Baker Mayfield?
I mean, Drew Brees is going to go down as the most accurate passer in the history of the NFL.
What are the characteristics, physical characteristics different between Mayfield and Brees?
One guy's a better passer.
So there are no physical characteristics different then. So don't give me physical characteristics as a reason he's not going to be a Hall of Famer. Give me something else.
He's not as accurate as Drew Brees.
Should we look up accuracy?
Yes, look it up.
In their first year playing.
Look it up.
All right, we can do that
because of the offense.
Should we look at college? Where were their accuracies in college? Should we dig that up?
We'll move on.
All right.
Sam Darnold has a chance. Josh Rosen, he's not going to be a Hall of Famer.
Why?
I just don't see it.
Okay, I do.
I don't see it.
I see it.
And I was disgusted when he said in an article, like, Tom Brady had 5 championships. I want 6. Josh, how about you win 5 games before we talk about championships? Josh Allen, you really think he's going to be a Hall of Famer?
Sure, why not? I don't know, Troy. I don't know. But you know what?
History tells you they're not.
Dude, D-Mac? You don't know who's going to have a great career and who's not. You're never really quite sure. But when you need a quarterback...
No, that's not what we're saying.
All right.
You're
all
saying
right.
Hall of Fame. That's the 1%
time. Yeah, because this is the argument against D-Mac. You did. Who's your guy? I'm telling you, in 1983, I'd have been fine if I was a team with any of them. And by the way, the other guys in that 1983 draft weren't that bad either. They weren't Hall of Famers.
Ken O'Brien
had a great career.
Nice career.
Who's the other guys?
You had Marino. You had Elway. You had Kelly. You had Ken O'Brien. Who are we missing?
One guy that was like a disaster. I don't even know if he was a disaster. We can look it up. All right, listen. Just take my deep breath pills.
When Andrew Luck came out, I thought he could be a Hall of Famer. Because of injuries, he won't be.
Everybody thought he could be a Hall of Famer.
Well, that's my point. Nobody's saying that about this current class.
Some people... Okay, all right. You know what? Let's revisit this in 20 years.
You know who's going to be a Hall of Famer out of this class?
Where are we? We're in November 9th, 2018. So
Put it in the time capsule.
Yeah, the 2038, Troy. Let's make it a date. That would be you meet back here. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 120. 00716.
Here's Big Alan D-Mac.
Was Tom Cruise in the new Top Gun playing volleyball with his shirt off, Troy?
I just saw clips of him on his motorcycle on the tarmac.
I have a story from Top Gun, one of my all-time closing moments, maybe my only all-time closing moments, was I was the, it was kind of a muckety-muck at my college radio station. We played Top 40 music, and my wife now, girlfriend then, liked Take My Breath Away, because she was a big Top Gun fan, by Berlin.
I like that song.
So it's late in the evening, and, you know, like I say, I'm trying to, you know, close things down, and, so, you like that song, huh?
I mean, it was all right.
I pick up the phone, tell the DJ, hey, say, hey, listen, hey, it's me. No, Darren McKee. Yeah, me.
You're talking to the DJ.
I'm talking to the DJ on the phone. Like, next song, Take My Breath Away, Berlin. This is how you do it, dude. It's a little advice for all the kids out there.
That's probably smarter than playing Bitching Camaro by the Dead Milkmen. That's where I went wrong.
I'm not sure what a girl would really want to hear that, but...
Skater.
Okay. Let's go to Jay. You're on the fan. Hi, Jay. Jay. Jay.
I'm Jerry, not Jay.
We're giving out nicknames, apparently, today on the text line, on the call line.
Hi.
What's up, my man? How
What's
you
up?
Doing?
Yeah.
Hey, I got to let you know who I think should be the next coach for the Broncos.
Okay, who would that be?
What's that?
And he's smart, and he is smart, intelligent.
We're sitting on the edge of our seats, Jerry. Who is it?
He's a winner.
Yeah.
And Elway could work with him.
Yeah.
Ed McCaffrey.
All right.
Jeez, I thought he was going to say D-Mac.
Ed can't even get named into the Ring of Fame this year, and nobody's going in. I don't know what's going on with Ed McCaffrey and the Broncos right now, but something's going on, and I just don't know what it is. So that's definitely not going to happen. You got to understand something. It's the Broncos Ring of Fame. They can put anybody in there they want. It's not the Hall of Fame. It's the Ring of Fame. They chose this year. This is brilliant marketing, by the way. They chose this year to put nobody in. When Ed McCaffrey was on two Super Bowl teams, played your requisite 4 years, has been retired for however long you need, was on the Broncos broadcast for several years, whose kids are legendary in this state, who stayed around and is now coaching playoff football with Valor this year, going against Regis tonight.
Playoffs?
I am blown away that Ed McCaffrey, this year of all years, did not get in the Broncos Ring of Fame. I just don't even understand it. It's not like he was edged out by anybody. They literally decided nobody should go in. Troy. It's the Ring of Fame. Somebody should go in the Broncos Ring of Fame every year. And the fact that Alfred should be in the Broncos Ring of Fame. Stink should be in the Broncos Ring of Fame. Ed McCaffrey, without a doubt, should be in the Broncos Ring of Fame. So no offense, Jerry, but this dude can't even get in the Ring of Fame. He's not about to take over the head coaching role. Now, with all that being said, do I think somebody could go from high school football and be a head coach in the NFL? And my answer is yes. Why? Because that's exactly what Doug Peterson did. And he came to the Eagles with kind of a fresh set of eyes on everything. He spent, what, like 10 years in high school football, something like that?
Doug Peterson?
Maybe not 10 years, but something like that. Yeah, he coached high school football.
But he was with Andy Reid forever.
Well, his only head coaching job before he got the head coaching job with the Eagles was high school football.
Right, but he had been an assistant in the NFL for a bit.
Okay.
They're not going,
to
Ed McCaffrey.
This whole assistant thing that's qualifying for your head, I'm going to call BS on all of it. I think it almost doesn't matter because what it takes to be a head coach is such a different role than assistant coach. It's to me, it feels like apples and oranges. You got to prove to me. And if you're going to be the head coach, like if you're going to be the head coach anywhere in high school, be the head coach of a place like Valor that has very complicated things with, can I call it recruiting? I don't know. About kids being there, about dealing with parents, about boosters. There's a lot of complexities at coaching in a place like Valor compared to other high schools. If you can figure it out and do it successfully at a place where it's pretty complicated to do, I think you're going to be okay. Any high school coach worth his salt could have figured out how to manage that game better than Vance Joseph the other day. I can't think of one head high school coach in the state of Colorado who would have kicked a 62-yard field goal with 20-something seconds left on the clock. Can you?
Yes. I think you're giving way too much credit to high school coaches.
Oh, you think there's a lot of high school coaches out there that would have made that same decision?
Well, they don't have
really?
they don't have kickers who can kick 62-yarders in most cases.
Uh-huh.
So they but let's say for argument's sake it was a 42-yarder. Many would have done it.
A 42-yarder is a totally different conversation.
Okay, keep it 62. You're giving too much credit to high school coaches. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Wow. I don't think so. At least if you're a high school coach, you've organized and managed the complexities of being in charge of a program. These assistant, like the thought of Eric Bieniemy being a head coach next year, that is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing that you would consider Eric Bieniemy capable of being a head football coach for anybody. My goodness, do we forget what happened with John Embry and Eric Bieniemy, Troy, up at CU in that disastrous season?
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, my God.
No way around it.
And you're going to ask somebody who's got as short of a fuse as Eric Bieniemy to have the patience and tolerance that it takes to be the head coach? You need a grown-up to be a head coach. Now, you can be a young grown-up, as Sean McVay's proving right now in Los Angeles. And I get it. Sean McVay wasn't a head coach anywhere else. It's a risk.
John DeFilippo, who was with the Eagles, who's now the coordinator, offensive coordinator for the Vikings, is a hot name that a lot of teams will be going after. Lincoln Riley will be number one on many lists.
I like it. He's a head coach. He's run a program.
Including the Cowboys.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We can dig into this a little bit deeper. It's the Drive on the Fan.
Here's Big Alan D-Mac.
There it is.
This is Troy Rankin with D-Mac tonight on The Drive. I was doing a piece for my high school paper in Pueblo Centennial, the Centennial Light, go Bulldogs. And Tony Hawk was the big thing, the skateboarder.
Okay.
And he had a move that they called the Take Your Breath Away. The 900, see? We got skaters here.
Hmm.
I wore Vans. Actually, I was wearing Airwalks my senior year. I played hoops. They practiced in Airwalks and nearly got banned.
What moves are you making on your fantasy football team this weekend?
I don't play fantasy football.
No, nobody cares.
Yeah, well, it's like your keys. That's what I think of when I think of your fantasy league. Hmm. The only one that cares about your keys are you.
Hmm. I'm checking my keys to make sure they're in my pocket right now.
My keys are missing.
Oh, it's giving me a little paranoia about my keys.
And my phone, where did it go?
Telling you, that worked back in the day. Back in the day, it worked. Maybe it'll work tonight. I don't know. Honey, did you hear that song? David, you're on the fan. Hi, David.
How you doing, D-Mac?
Super.
Troy.
What's up?
Hey, man. A quick question to ask you. I don't think nobody's talked about this. Well, a couple quick questions. What do you think the Broncos should have done, like, in the previous draft? Instead of the 20th pick, they should have moved up and picked either Deshaun or Patrick Mahomes. What do you guys think about that?
Well, at the time, it was confusing because you had picked Paxton Lynch and you didn't know what you had in Paxton Lynch. I mean, at the time, it would not have made sense because you had spent a first-round draft pick in Paxton Lynch. And what we advocated was we understood Trevor Siemian. Well, it was supposed to be Mark Sanchez. People forget that. The quarterback who was supposed to start that year for the Broncos was Mark Sanchez. And then Paxton Lynch was going to develop under him. Trevor Siemian was nothing. Trevor Siemian was a throwaway draft pick that was done to appease Gary Kubiak. But, you know, Gary Kubiak was still the coach. So what happened was Mark Sanchez just had a terrible training camp. Terrible. And they realized that, well, we can't move on with Mark Sanchez and Trevor Simeon's better. And you know what? We needed a quarterback just to sort of be a placeholder for our first round guy no matter what. So what difference does it make? So going into the second season, that's why Al and I were like, well, listen. This has to be like Moneyball, you know, when you just get rid of the first baseman so you can play Hattieburg. You just got to get rid of Trevor Siemian so you can put in Paxton Lynch. This is the decision. This is your plan. And the one thing I've been on Elway about is whatever your plan is, stick to it. Have a commitment to it. And they didn't do it. They were in a panic mode. They thought they had something special. Gary Kubiak wasn't there anymore. It was total panic. And, of course, Trevor Siemian beat out Paxton Lynch. We knew that was going to happen. But everybody was delusional because they thought the no-fly zone and the defense was so special. And you threw a year away. You just threw away a year. So no quarterback would have made sense the year Garrett Bowles was drafted because you thought it was going to be Paxton. It should have been Paxton Lynch. But this was the essence of the problem. You can't have two quarterbacks sort of right there together, Troy, that are developmentally just at the same level. That sort of, you know, the decision, the competition. You can't have that. Roles are important. And if you draft a guy in the first round, by his second year, he's the man. Look what they did in Kansas City. There is a distinct possibility if Alex Smith stuck around with the Chiefs, if you just looked at Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes in training camp where things are controlled, there's no contact with the quarterback, you know, it's based on, you know, a quarterback knowing a system. Troy, there's an excellent chance Alex Smith may have looked better than Patrick Mahomes during OTAs and training camp for the Chiefs. Now, the reports were Mahomes was looking great, that sort of thing. But if you just want to say, well, I don't know, Alex Smith got us to the playoffs and you know, he's looking pretty good here. I mean, you're going to make the decision to start Patrick Mahomes sticky if Alex Smith is still on the roster. So what did the Chiefs do? The Chiefs did exactly what the Denver Broncos should have done. They took the veteran or the older player, would have been Siemian in this case, Alex Smith, and they cleared the plate for Patrick Mahomes. And it's sink or swim. Is it going to work out or not? And Troy, so taking a quarterback, Garrett Bowles here, was preposterous. It's ridiculous. You should have cleared the plate. You could have drafted a quarterback, Troy, in the fifth or sixth round. Get Trevor Siemian out of Dodge. You know, if you want to bring Mark Sanchez in as the veteran to sort of guide things along, well, okay, fine. I mean, who cares? Have him be there to mentor, you know, Paxton Lynch. The Broncos just didn't stick to their plan. The crazy thing is, what was your plan?
I think they did have that plan. Everything you just said was right.
Well, then why didn't they stick to it?
Because Paxton was so bad.
Well, boo-hoo.
He was so awful, they couldn't merit getting him on the field.
Well, then...
And it's been proven by the fact he can't get signed by anyone.
I got it. I didn't tell him to move up in the 20s to draft Paxton
Lynch.
They
just missed. They picked the wrong guy in every way.
It was a terrible decision.
But they had
still
that plan. They had that plan.
So you know what? You stick him in there for a year. You sink to the bottom of the ocean. You pick up some good draft picks. You give everybody a year of experience. And then you can build back the next year. And either you go with Paxton Lynch or you bring in somebody else. But instead we went through this farce where we all sat around pretending that Trevor Siemian was going to be a real quarterback. And then we were delusional about, you know, Team Slaughter. He hasn't beaten out Trevor Siemian, everybody. And now people want to fantasize about Chad Kelly. Golly, everybody. I mean, come on. Ay, ay, ay. Ay, 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 ay. And you want to think that, you know, Chad Kelly or Trevor or Case Keenum is going to. What is happening right now is so absurdly off. Troy, what is happening now is real life. What is happening is exactly what should have happened based on who everybody is. Okay. Garrett Bowles. What were you guys thinking? The guy had barely played football. I got it. He was a freaky athlete. He had barely played football. You can talk to Garrett Bowles for about 3 seconds, and you can realize that not the sharpest tool in the shed. Okay? And of course he was doing well in college. He was like 3 years older than everybody. It made the same mistake with Sylvester Williams, too, by the way, who was a first-round guy who was older than everybody, Troy, and you did not offer him a fifth year. You didn't offer Shane Ray a fifth year. He dropped in the draft. Bradley Roby dropped in the draft. You did offer him a fifth year. He's a disaster. Garrett Bowles will never be offered a fifth year. I mean, maybe he'll, I don't know, he'll probably be gone in the next couple years. He'll probably be in the trash heap. I get emotional about it, Troy, because some of these things are brutally obvious. And the Broncos have just been on this wing and a prayer about stuff. And everybody turns around and it's the head coach's fault. So now the solution is to change your plan again and fire the head coach? Like that's a... You...
But they got trapped into thinking they were still good and contending. That's where my larger macro issue is with everything you described. You can't rebuild and contend at the same time. And they were really a team in transition, and they continued to make moves for this year.
All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break. Nick Kosminer will join us. There is something super strange going on with Jokic. I mean, we are in the bizarro land here. We'll get to that next.
Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Legacy is a friend. Yeah, I know he's been a good friend of mine. But lately something's changed. It ain't hard to define. Just he's got himself a girl and I want to make her mine.
I love talking to my man Nick Kosminer because we're all on the Herm train, and we are going to pound the crap out of UCLA this weekend. Is that right, Nick?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
That's right. Nick is a great Sun Devil. You know, the Sun Devils have a crazy shot to actually win the Pac-12 South now, don't they?
Yeah, isn't there like a possibility of like a five-way tie?
Probably.
In the conference or something like that? I thought they were left for dead, and then they go and they beat USC on the road, which was incredible, and then obviously beating a 15th ranked Utah last week. So yeah, they got it going finally.
Yeah, they can. Well, who knows? We'll see you. Anyways, that's not why we have you on. Although, who doesn't love us? And we could go into the overtime victory against Fullerton, but we'll just leave that alone.
Let's not, Nick, because if you're going to, let me know so I can go put a cheese grater on my shins for the next 3 minutes.
Troy wants to go take a nap right now.
Troy, yeah, I'd rather build a puzzle than listen to this.
You can still contemplate how your Buffaloes gave up a
31-3 lead,
a 20-point lead,
to the worst road team in the history of college football, likely. They're looking at losing out. So let's not talk football.
Nick, were you at this press conference thing with Jokic?
Yeah, I was. I was there today. Yeah.
All right. How many other people were with you?
I would say there was probably in the neighborhood of 7 media members.
Seven media members.
Yeah, yeah.
So kind of a medium-sized cluster, right? Right?
Yeah, for Nuggets, yeah. That's probably about medium.
Nick, you've also done a lot of work with the Broncos. Even on a light day for a Broncos press conference, like with a quarterback, how many media members would you say are around for the quarterback interview on Wednesday?
Yeah, isn't it like about 30
And the reason I'm doing this is I want to just put some perspective into how Jokic was handling things. It's not like there was some sort of ridiculous media throng. Of those 7 people that were there with Jokic today, how many are there on a pretty regular basis?
I'd say all of them.
All of them. So
minus maybe one.
So it wasn't like some sort of super unusual thing. It wasn't a high-pressure situation. It wasn't something that was out of the ordinary, correct?
Yeah, it was pretty normal.
Okay. Let me go through the questions. Can you talk us through what you've been seeing offensively? Nope, we didn't play good last night. What do you guys think you have to do to get the offense playing better? Score more. How do you do that individually? Shoot more. Has coach talked to you at all? No. Has anybody else on the team? Gary a little bit. Is it sometimes hard to figure out whether to shoot or pass the ball in certain situations? No. Do you have a comment on the fine? No, no comment. So all of a sudden, Jokic is Marshawn Lynch. Nick, going on?
So his reaction today, I think, stems from, whatever kind of feelings you want to call them. I'm going to go with frustration over, over that fine that he was levied. And I don't know if your listeners know, but he He was fined by the NBA $25,000 for what they deemed use of derogatory and offensive language. And it stemmed from post-game comments after Chicago. Now, it should be said very clearly that this was not a slur. This was not his attempt to demean anybody. It was a joke from circa, I think, like 2012. Is the way Deadspin explained it, which I think was accurate, that fell flat. And I think he genuinely feels bad, but he also, I think, feels, that talking to the media is what got him in this mess. And it's really not. I mean, these comments were televised comments that were not prodded by anyone. And the reality is that he made a comment that, look, the fine is there. Kind of take your lump on this and move on. That's kind of the point I made when I wrote about this today. Is in the grand scheme of things, it's not a big deal. And when you're a franchise player, you're going to face some of the scrutiny. He needed to have just come out and they, as an organization, whatever it might have been, and just accept it and move on. Instead, you have this kind of weird press conference scene today, and that goes on top of the fact that he took one shot in a loss on Wednesday night and has only taken more than five shots once in the last four games. So it's all kind of very weird, but it all culminated in what you just read today.
Well, just real quick, Troy, sorry. That sounds like about as immature as you can possibly get. So I'm going to question this guy's leadership and maturity level in the NBA right now. And I've had nothing but good thoughts about Jokic, but this presents to me as a guy who, and Troy's pointed out, he has the highest contract ever in Denver sports history. So there's a lot on this guy that should provide a higher level of maturity than he showed today.
Yeah, and, you know, again, you mentioned he's 23 years old, but my thought was the whole thing, there needed to have been something around him to have sort of better advice. Because it's like you said, I have not seen anywhere where he has been vilified for the comments that he made. There's no excusing anything, but, nobody's vilifying him or calling him a monster for what he said, because he's not. You mentioned, it should be pointed out, he has been forever really accommodating and warm and really great with the media. That's why this is such a stark contrast. This is why this is unusual. And I don't think that it's a symptom of a bigger thing with him. I think that his teammates really enjoy him. He spends time with people. He's really warm and accommodating. But this was kind of this taste of adversity that really just didn't get handled well. I think that's what it comes down to. And, you know, the hope for him is that, you know, he can get past this because he's so instrumental in what they do. And if he is allowing what has happened to affect in any way how he plays, that obviously just is not going to work.
Well, as you mentioned, Nick, it's a jarring juxtaposition. I've been out to the Nuggets a few times the last couple of years in my role at Denver 7. And I'm not exactly sure, as you mentioned, why he didn't show more maturity in this situation. He's making an episode out of something that, frankly, wasn't. And then when he's back in the friendly confines of the local media, why he wasn't accountable to this and just move on. That's always it's always the case where the cover-up's worse than the crime. But move aside from that. Why is he not shooting the basketball, Nick? What is going on? The whole offense runs through him. I'm watching the game the other night. And he has a wide open three at the top of the key, one of their second, it might have been their third possession before the end of the game or second. And he ends up pushing it off to Harris. And that's when teammates were chiding him on the bench, like, dude, what are you doing? So, simple question, why is he not shooting the basketball?
I really wish I knew. And I think a lot of his teammates who have really come out and listen, this is a team, Troy, like you mentioned, you've been around, but this is a team that has always nothing but like good things to say to one another. It's rare that they want to ruffle each other's feathers. And to be honest, in past seasons, that's kind of been a problem. They haven't had that person who will kind of step up and say something. This year, it's different. This team has a lot different expectations. It knows it's good. It knows it can compete in the Western Conference. And so they are, in the last couple of days, have said, listen, he has to be more aggressive. But as far as the reason why, I really don't know. You know, I was kind of looking at some of these games in this stretch, really trying to look at them independently. Like Utah, for example, last Saturday, he only had 7 points, but he had 16 assists. And he was really dominating in terms of being a facilitator. But then first half against Boston, he wasn't even looking at the rim. And Will Barton said today, he made a good point that I agree with. It's not even just so much the shot attempt. It's the fact that he is not even putting himself in position to where the defense has to account for him as a scorer. Because if they don't think he's going to shoot that three-point shot, and he's a 40% three-point shooter, so he should be shooting that shot. If they don't think he's going to do it, then they're going to be able to back off, and his ability as a passer and everybody else's ability as a cutter is not going to be at the same level that it is if he's doing that other part of his game, which is a score.
But he knows that because that's what his vision is, what makes him a great passer. Isn't it extremely naive to think that he doesn't understand spacing on the floor? He creates the spacing because you can't run out at him because he's going to make a three or he's going to pass. I mean, he's such a unique mismatch. This idea that he doesn't understand that if he doesn't look at the rim, that he's going to get everyone else defended differently in an offense that's just basically centered and guided through him. I mean, again, yeah, I told D-Mac, if Von Miller decided just not to get sacks and would get to the quarterback and put his arms up, this would be leading the A block of news. I mean, that's why I think there's a mental thing going on. Maybe he's got a slump issue, because that would make more sense than a guy just suddenly deciding, who could easily get 30 a night if he wanted, to, I'm not going to shoot?
Yeah, it's strange. There's no other way around it. And I really just kind of brought up that shooting thing as one point, because I think you're right. There's no questioning what he knows about the game. He is among the smartest players in the league, and this is a guy who is not athletic, and yet he's able to dominate in stretches because he knows how to play so well. So yeah, there clearly is something going on, particularly over the last couple games. Again, I think Utah, when you have six assists, you're obviously playing the game well, and obviously they took off in the fourth quarter that night. But especially the last two games. It's strange. So the hope, if you're a Nuggets fan, if you're his teammates or his coach, is that this is some kind of funk that he's going to snap out of. Because, you're right. If Von Miller decided not to rush the quarterback, it would be a huge story. And last night especially, or Wednesday night especially, that's what this was.
Well, really, if they win tonight, right, They'll be the number one seed in the West. Yeah, that's why I'm saying this is a story.
It's not a panic. It's just quirky. It's bizarre. Maybe a girlfriend broke up with him. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea. It's clearly a psychological thing, not a physical thing. It's just odd, Nick. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah. And the thing is, too, it is odd, but I would caution just to have, like you said, that macro. They're playing really well. He has shown, during the brief times he's had slumps like this in the past, that he responds in a big way.
Okay.
I think that he will, but we'll see, obviously.
All right, good job, Nick. It's always let me just really quick. Is his English – how's his English? Is it pretty good?
It's gotten better to where it is. He still struggles at times, but it's good.
Does he understand slang and colloquialisms and other sort of stuff? I mean, does he get?
I think so. I don't want to say it for any certainty, but I think he understands like what he's saying. And again, it was a joke that you heard 5 years ago.
You know, because it almost felt like it's something that his teammates were teasing him about. You know, they were using, and I'm just spitballing here, okay? But to me, it's like locker room, silly, middle school sort of stuff that sometimes happens in locker rooms. And I'm like, does he actually understand what this really means? Or is he just repeating stuff that people are giving him a hard time with in the locker room? You know, that's
There's certainly a chance. There's certainly a chance that is the case. And I mean, Roy Hibbert in 2013 got fined for saying the exact same thing. So it's not as if this is like a comment that's never been said. And again, I just don't think it's a big issue to where if you just wear it and move on, you'll be fine. And, you know, don't make it worse than it is.
Yeah, but if you, not to belabor it, I suppose, but I am, if he felt set up, if he didn't feel like his teammates were protecting him, and that he got set up for this particular instance, and I know he'd been sort of slumping before, but I almost kind of get that. Like, oh, you're going to throw me under the bus, huh? You guys, you know, want to set me up like this? Well, I'll show you. Which is, again, an unbelievably immature way to handle things. But it would sort of make kind of sense. But that being said, that's just speculation on my part. So we shouldn't assume that that is the case. But English isn't his first language. You know, I'm going to cut him some slack.
Yeah, it is. And again, and like I just tried to say, this is not, this again, nobody's vilifying him for this. It's not a huge deal. He's just, like Troy said, the bigger point is he's just got to shoot. He's got to go out there and be aggressive, does what he does, and they'll be fine.
All right, Nick, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time. Nuggets on the road tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. This is The Drive on the Fan.